I'm Rudy Ro Dalla Flo Bigliani, along with my partner, Telly TJ Vangeli. This is Cross Vegas. After years of sowing seeds of faith as up-and-coming televangelists, TJ and I crashed into our new endeavor of being social mediators for the kingdom right here in Las Vegas. We're demonstrating the blessing that he wants for you in our latest project of prosperity at Cross Vegas. Come join us as we bring the redemption of riches to the Sin City. After all, what happens here stays in heaven.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Do you find yourself lying awake at night, thinking about all the myriad ways you could be internet robbed, electro-hacked, or computer probed?
Fears. Blockchain wallets? Only hoodlums and draft dodgers wear chains on their wallets. What does a Snapchat taste like anyway? Dark web? But I ordered light meat. Crypto keys? I hope one day to visit the catacombs and reliquaries beneath Paris. My Harold, you remember him, of course, used to always promise.
What if you could put your worries about identity theft to bed forever?
Rest in peace.
Introducing Lifesteal.com's new identity theft assurance service. The only way to know for sure that all of your accounts have been hacked, locked, ransomed, and delivered to the highest bidder.
I do like a sure. Chocolate is the best flavor for the afternoon when my energy flags, which in these waning years before the darkness mists over my eyes for the last.
With identity theft assurance, Lifesteal's highly trained staff of embittered, unjustly canceled Twitter trolls will scan through all of their records to make sure every one of your accounts is on our list, safely and accurately labeled for our later use. After our exhaustive search through copies of your files, we will produce a certificate of identity theft, which will outline in detail that we are 100% positive that every aspect of your identity has been stolen.
Now that I have my certificate, I get even better entertainment news adverts on Facebook Live. Yoda has a baby?
Welcome, welcome. We're coming to you live from the Music City, the birthplace of modern fireworks, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, dear listeners and our podregation across the fruited plains. Whether you're dialing us up on a spirit-inspired vitriolic political road trip or you've hopped on your pillow ton for a workout and just happened to click the play anything on the Pods of the Prodigal Son listening app, wherever you may be, thank you for joining us at Cross Vegas. Brother TJ, what has the Spirit inspired you with today?
Well, Rudy, this is a truly, truly blessed day. We have news that will shock and awe our easily shocked audience. We have succeeded where many have failed. We have successfully joined together what man and God ought never have separated in the scriptures to begin with, which is the church and the state. We have won the election, but we will get into all of that a little later here. But we are so excited, we can hardly keep our pants on.
Oh, absolutely, man. I can't wait to get to talking about some of our recent victories. But I know a lot of listeners have been really concerned about the status of our physical kingdom here in Las Vegas. What do you think we can update them on, TJ?
Well, from the lack of traffic noise in the background, you probably figured we are inside. That's not exactly accurate. We're back on the property, but we still lack any kind of structure around us. We're back on the property. We're very grateful. But we need your help, listeners. In our great fire that we had that burnt down Cross Vegas and got us evicted last time, We lost everything. We lost our microphones. We lost our generators. We lost our tent. A tent of meeting, that tabernacle of the Lord. So we are actually coming to you back from the property, but with some real needs, specifically for a tent. And we have one that we like. We've got it on our Amazon wish list. It's the $30,000 Gucci North Face tent. And I know people are going to say, that's an awful lot for a pup tent. But, we're going to put more than a couple pups in there, aren't we? More than a litter of pups this time.
Oh, that's right. And we got a vision for this. This isn't just something that just came out from getting kind of a sweet tooth about this tent. But I'm going to tell you, this tent is like a new wineskin. And what fire meant for evil, the Lord has meant for good with this new wineskin tent, this beloved North Face Gucci tent that will serve our needs so well.
And everybody knows crypto is off the cryptography charts right now, and it is up, up, and away. So we encourage you to donate specifically through our Christo currency, the cyber sectionals, the celestial cyber sectionals, because we believe that that is where the future of money is, specifically clean money, laundered money, just the need to have something out there that no government and no stock market can take away from you.
That is right, and we still have a few more weeks left of the special Judas promotion where you can give 30 cyber sectionals and it will get matched by a special matching company, and we're just so excited about that Judas special. But there's only a couple more weeks of that, and I think if we can get a strong push coming up, then we could get maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 of these new wineskins.
That would be wonderful. And folks, if you want exclusive content that you can't hear anywhere else, including our uncut, uncircumcised, genuine Gentile Christian style radio episodes, support us through our Patreon. For just $500 a year, you can get all of the extra material you've been missing that an editor would have cut out, that we've got lying around on the cutting room floor.
And I know some of our listeners have been wondering, I want to give and I want to fire up one of them prayer bots at the same time, but you don't really have anything that specifically you want to pray for. So may I just suggest that if the Lord lays it on your heart to give and to fire up one of our prayer bots, just pray this simple prayer that America would remain the number one nation in the world. And that prayer right there is really at the heart and the backbone of what it means to be a patriotic Amenican.
Amen, akin brother. So we want to get into a little more detail on why have we these needs? What on earth made that fire so catastrophic back last month? And what was going on our property? Not just, you know, some of the foundation issues and this and that, the unquenchable divine fire coming out of our leaky gas pipe, but we happen to actually be throwing one of our in-person pandemic is over events right around that time, which was a live nativity featuring Las Vegas appropriate people and animals. And boy, that was going so well right up until everyone almost died. But right up until then, it was one of the most glorifying to God events I've ever been a part of in my life.
Absolutely. There's so much creativity poured into this and so much talent, as we had equivalencies for every single member and part of that manger scene, equivalencies that related to the city of Las Vegas. I mean, just to start with, you know, obviously there's no sort of stables in Las Vegas, but we do have parking garages. And so we'd set up a parking garage because there was no room in the hotel, you know, which is something that you might find somebody, you know, and we've all seen them or experienced it ourselves when, you know, you're not able to find a room and you just catch some Z's in a parking garage. And that's kind of the setting for that live nativity.
Well, and we just love it when we can bring the gospel to life. you know, almost like a Frankenstein monster. You know, something you thought was all just stitched together from all over the ancient world. You just jolt some juice in there, and the spirit brings that together, and it wanders all over the city and never know where that's going to stop. That's right out of the scriptures right there. No man knows where the wind of the Holy Spirit is going
to
blow.
The wind of the Holy Spirit gave us the direction to of course, put baby Jesus right there in a buffet, because nothing says Las Vegas like a buffet. Very similar to a manger. And we had shepherds who weren't shepherds, but bouncers. You know, bouncers are watching over their people by night, and so they played the part of the shepherds. And then maybe one of my favorite parts was bringing in the three kings. Now, of course, some of you are going to get real literal and say the three kings weren't there when Jesus was born, blah, 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 blah. Whenever I see a manger scene, I see the three kings. So there's your proof right there. And so we had the big three basketball league, and represented by someone playing Ice Cube, Big Baby Davis, and Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, former NBA star, representing the Big Three, which does take place in Las Vegas.
It's one of our great prides and joy. We haven't gone to any of the games, and we didn't get any of the actual players. We got reasonable facsimiles of those players. You know, just like the zebras are reasonable facsimile of the donkey. You know, it wasn't a real zebra either. It was more of an abandoned ceramic zebra with a pole through it that had been cast off from a carousel from a traveling circus that had gone bankrupt last year. But a reasonable facsimile anyway of the donkey that Jesus rode with Mary into Egypt or wherever they were going.
But we had some great response. If I can just read one tweet here from regarding some of the characters. This is from at Flags of Our Fathers 69. And he says, man, that blue man group Joseph was spot on. Just like Joseph, doesn't say much, but really makes an impact. I like that one. So thank you, Flags of Our Fathers 69, for that comment.
I love it when a plan comes together like that, and someone just really sees the resonance there between their own lives and the life of the Blue Man Group playing biblical characters. Now, we were Facebook alive, and we had light machines, fog machines, we had a Christmas tree of power cords going here, and I feel like everything was good up until somebody put some kind of extra juice in one of the fog machines, and those noxious vapors drifted over towards our unquenchable fire that really should just be used for mask burning ceremonies. But these vapors from the fog machines, I didn't see it happen, but it seems like that could have contributed to everybody needing to run as if their lives depended on it.
Yeah, I was very concerned that the Celine Dion impersonator who was playing Mary got swallowed up, but fortunately she did make it out along with the rest of the bystanders. So I think we're happy to report the blessing that no one got seriously injured, although most of our property would be considered seriously injured.
But you know, that's just a way of disposing of our private property as we see fit, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Rudy? We were maximizing our freedom, and we bore the consequences like real men. Nobody needed to tell us to take out an insurance policy or just pretend like we weren't disposing of our goods when we had to throw it all in the dumpster. That was our choice. We took those risks. We bore the rewards.
Absolutely. Every step we've taken has been a step of faith, and even when that step is through the ashes, it's still a step of faith.
Amen, brother. Well, I think our listeners are just dying to hear, just got ants in their metaphorical pants about this election that we just gloriously won. We have been basking in this glory ever since.
That's right. And many of you know our platform that we laid out in our previous episode for our campaign for city council, and my, oh my, we have seen the fruit of all of our labors. I mean, from the moment that we were inspired with this idea till the very last vote was counted, it was such a blessing to be a part of this, TJ.
Amen. And we had so much help from the public on this one. Jolene was that member of the public, really. She's been the one external party to all this that has been so helpful. She's got a little bit of experience with getting out the vote or shutting down the vote, depending on what's needed by those who hire her services. She helped us get some information onto all the platforms about where to vote, or maybe some confusing information for the people we didn't really need voting that day. We know that those things were delivered and they had their intended effect.
She really went to the mat for this campaign. I mean, and I don't mean to boast, but we really just, when we're boasting the ideas that God gave us for us to manufacture the win. Some ideas like having any guest to Cross Vegas complete an absentee ballot with Cross Vegas as their address. That was a great idea. We had people register in with their first name, last name, and then re-register in with their middle name, last name. We had certain of you who have donated. We in faith took your donation information and turned it into an absentee ballot. Paid a couple of homeless people who some may call the least of these, but we know they are clothed in righteousness, and we took them to the polling place. Just a lot of incredible efforts to make this all possible.
And you know, some of this has been powered by modern technology. So we talk about guests coming to Cross Vegas, and you think, well, I'm a guest in all sorts of different places. I only vote in one. But we had a scheme, a solution proposed by Jolene, which was to get into these nifties, these NFTs, where you can sell a little part of the coming metaverse kingdom of God, and you tie that into your physical property. So really, we were selling real estate at Cross Vegas or the virtual representation of it that kind of floats around in the ether spiritually around our property. And those virtual deeds are going to be the basis on which our many absentee voting guests are going to defend themselves in court against voter fraud accusations in the future. They will be successful in those, we have no doubt.
Maybe the one thing I would have to say, just to be honest, as a criticism of Jolene is we didn't quite get all of our ducks in a row at the right time. Therefore, we did have to be write-ins. We were write-in candidates. We couldn't get put on the ballot. And so, you know, some see something as, glasses half empty. We see it as glasses half full. And so that's led us to some incredible slogans that we posted up over town. Just ones like the right in, meaning like the right wing in. The right in is the right in, Rudy and TJ.
Then we had to clarify that a little bit, because if you wrote in Rudy and or TJ, you wouldn't actually be writing in the proper name. And then Jolene was another matter. So we did have to go up on some of those billboards and at our own expense and great danger, paint in an asterisk and then kind of try to paint in underneath the actual spellings of our name, like first, right, Rodolfo Bigliani, and you have to kind of like make the letter kerning a little bit wide there, because if there's lowercase L's, which your name has three of, we need to spread those out and then, you know, not use a sans serif font, because then it just looks like a number one. And what are you gonna do? Is this one of these modern rappers or rapists who are gonna have all these characters in their names, like Tacky 8 or whatever that man is?
It made the billboards a little bit a little busy. That's for sure, because our legal names are a little bit busy. But I think in the end the better campaign slogan was just, we're going right in. But instead of like R-I-G-H-T, it was W-R-I-T. We're going right in. And I think that proved to be helpful. I think it was a bit problematic when we did register some of the paid animal talent around Las Vegas due to the fact that some of them don't have the skills of riding. But all we needed to do there was to have a proxy. And so we definitely utilized the proxy.
Yeah, the costumed assistant of those performing animals. And listeners are going to say, well, this sounds an awful lot like you're trying to get out to vote some ineligible characters. And I just want to say no to that and say yes instead to how these registered paid animal talents, you know, these zebras and lions and leopards and so forth, they are earning their living here in Las Vegas, and there's nothing that says you're eligible to vote so much as earning a living. Isn't that right, Rudy?
If you're earning a living and you're paying or not paying your taxes, then you deserve the right to vote.
And those monies are held in trust for those animals. I mean, some people think, oh, well, the owners of the animals just get all the money. Well, I don't think you've seen many paid animal performer contracts in your lifetime, because I'll tell you, a bunch of those have a little stipend going to the owner, but there's a whole lot of money held in trust for these animals that says, you know, here's the feeding, here's the care, here's the veterinary bills, here's the euthanasia bill. All these things are covered in that trust, and those funds are being used for the benefit of the animal. They've earned them. They are a real participant in society. I do not think we should be denying them any kind of rights. So I feel like we should have paid animals voting as often as they want to in our great country.
That's right. I don't think any red-blooded American would deny a bald eagle an opportunity to participate in their civic rights.
Especially if that bald eagle was sort of carrying around all those spears in their talons or their mouth or whatever. I mean, just the costume alone should be enough of a voter ID for you to be able to get through those restrictions. You know, lots of things should be able to be used for those voter ID laws, you know, like a Costco membership. That proves you're an embedded part of that community, prosperous part of that community. Maybe a Bible with your name engraved in gold and your conversion details written out in childlike handwriting on the inner cover. I think that is as much of an idea as anything I've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely. And this was all just, you know, the thinking outside the box that we had to do to get this election across the goal line. I do think, TJ, it'd be important for us to talk about, you know, just like when you score a touchdown, sometimes there can be a flag on the play. I think it's only fair that we talk to the listeners about some of the things we realized after all the votes had been tabulated.
Yeah, you know, some of these things are positives. Some might come across as negative. I think the net result is positive, which is we are, all three of us, elected into city council, but maybe a couple of clarifications are needed so that when people write in or their congratulations or donate, they know the nature of what that is. And just something that might be relevant is we ended up winning the election by a landslide, I would say. But in fact, it was a shutout. We each got four votes apiece that successfully spelled our names, got everything squared away. But you know how many votes the other candidates got? Zero. So it was a 4-0 shutout victory. Could have been, I guess you could call it a 12-0 if you count all those votes for all three of us. But it was a 4-0 shutout victory. No voters came forward with enough boldness to go against the Lord's anointed.
That's right. We completely shut out the vote. I mean, 4-0 is an absolute slaughter in soccer rules. And so we were just so much filled with a sense of purpose, vitriol. But I did figure something out just maybe the next day after we'd kind of come down off of our grape juice high from that celebration. I guess, although it's a victory, there are some things that I believe the devil has planted into this city council as a means of trying to steal the vote from us.
Yeah, and these things are of consequence. They didn't make us lose the election. There's no stolen election here. We got out our people. You know, sometimes they're dressed up in costumes. Sometimes they're, you know, dressed up as Native Americans to honor those natives and disguise themselves from legal scrutiny. But in any case, at least four people successfully voted for us, which was a victorious shutout, as you say. What we didn't realize was the outgoing city council members had attempted to dissolve the city council. They didn't quite have a quorum that day, so they only succeeded in stripping it of all of its functional powers, investing those in a new city commissioner position, which, oddly enough, you know, talk about nepotism, the retiring Cedric Crayer and his entourage ran for that position and now fill those administrative functionary roles of the city commissioner role, which I just read up on actually absorbed all the powers of the previous city council, except for the fact that the city council still exists and we are the new councilors thereon. I don't know what we're going to do necessarily, but it sounds like the parts that the city commissioner doesn't care for might come down to us, might devolve from the greater body to the lesser body, or as the scriptures would put it, the member of the body with less honor is treated with more honor. But I believe that our new role is going to be to mostly just hear input from citizens about changes they like to see in the city. So it actually puts us right in the middle of the populace, if you will, who are going to be telling us exactly what needs to happen in all their Las Vegas and glory.
Some say potato, some say sour grapes. The real truth is that, you know, these candidates that could have been running against us kind of had a Balaam's ass experience where they were going up against a powerful force, and it didn't matter how many times they got kicked, they weren't going to run. They weren't going to start running, especially running against us. So I do believe it was a victory, although I didn't get elected to the position I thought I was getting elected to. But I believe that the Lord has laid it on us to be elected, and in that way we have done this in obedience, and we have succeeded.
That's right, and we are no longer just going to have a presence in the virtuals, in the cybers, no longer just the charades of parlor, no longer just the go-getters of getter, no longer just the weenies of me-we. We are the counselors of the city council of the city of Las Vegas, and that is some embodied faith right there. We are going to be using that position, or those three positions, for the glory of the Lord on every odd Tuesday of the month when we sit and hear the people's complaints.
Amen. This platform will be used not just to hear the complaints of the city, as you mentioned, but we will also be using this platform to further advance Cross Vegas and all of our arms and networks of which we are affiliated on paper or not on paper.
Well, friends, welcome to Holy Ghosted, where your unanswered prayers to the Lord find at least some kind of answer from some ministers of the Lord. We try to give you the theophany that you didn't find through the main channel, but we try to give you a little taste of this sub-channel of communication from the Lord, where he may have been silent, We'll say something anyway, won't we, Rudy?
Our heart here is just to give a word to those that feel like the Lord has maybe gone silent on them, and where he is silent, we shall speak.
So today's message came in from little Twitter account known as @CobraStrikeForce of our ancestors 69. So Mr. Cobra is concerned about whether in his vocation in life he has the opportunity to serve the Lord or not. And when we Twittered back at him about that vocation to inquire a little further, he said, well, he spends about 3 hours a day sleeping, about 4 hours a day delivering Grubhub, and then about the rest of the balance of the day playing Counter-Strike and other first-person shooter games. These World War II simulators, these ones where it's a game about, you know, a couple of weeks. What, Fortnite? I don't know what's going on there, but he seems to be playing about 16, 17 hours of games a day. Wants to know, how can I serve the Lord within that vocation?
Well, this is a very good question. And as many of you know, we do have a growing ministry in the video game sphere, in that space, through Twitch and just through, you know, we got started playing, and I grew up more as a Minesweeper type of guy, and I've elevated into different things. I know the internationals like to play the FIFA, more of the red-blooded Americans, closer to my heart, playing the 2 weeks or the Fortnite, as you mentioned, and other great games that just promote shooting and teamwork and all that good stuff. But I really think there is an incredible ministry out there for those who are playing video games, but you gotta be bold enough to get yourself going on Twitch. It's not enough to just be a player. You need to go from affiliate to partner to having a sick sub badge and throwing around those Craigasms. And when you get that type of following is when you'll find that you got a little flock yourself that you can have an impact on.
Yeah, isn't that the best part about the internet? Anybody can be Jesus, you know, especially on the video games where you get to customize your avatar. You know, you just put some sandals on, you put a white robe on him, put a blue sash down him, whether he's riding a Velociraptor, like I've seen on some of these internet memes where there's some great artwork being put out, or he's just walking into battle with akimbo golden Glocks. He is the one we serve. And what's great is when you get a whole army of these Jesuses going on the same Counter-Strike or Call of Duty game. I keep on talking about Counter-Strike. I'm living in 2009 myself from time to time here. You go on Call of Duty, you go on any of these games, and just get a whole flock of Jesuses following the lead Jesus right into battle.
You know, one of the things we've learned from the Gospels is that Jesus didn't play by the rules. And so when you take on that persona of Jesus, you don't have to play by them rules either. Some of you may have seen my latest avatar where I've taken on the handle of the Living Water Stream Sniper. And I found special loopholes where I can figure out where some of them high-profile players are by watching their streams. And then I just jump in there and snap them. And when these pharisaical commenters give me a garbage about it, I just give them that word straight from the Gospels that says, "You brood of vipers." And this is all in good fun, but I think what overall we're doing is we're sharing what truly the Son is all about.
The doctrine that's very much highlighted by playing these video games is the resurrection. Clearly, the resurrection is enacted more often than any other one of the events of Jesus' life or even his teachings. When you respawn, you are showing that you are coming right back again, ready for more. Just like Jesus came right out of that tomb and challenged Pilate to, you know, dared him to put him back on the cross and dared him to just keep throwing him into that grave. He's going to keep coming right back out again. That respawn area, just if it were needed, was just going to be pumping out Jesus after Jesus.
Amen. When Jesus is your avatar, there is no shame in dying. That's right. Hallelujah.
You know, what else it does is it kind of redeems Jesus. When you got a gun-toting Jesus, it sort of redeems him from that sorry reputation of being meek and lowly. I mean, we don't need that. And when you're coming out guns blazing, when you're sniping headshots, wow, that raises Jesus' profile right up there. And man, that's somebody you want to follow, right? We talked about different things we could do to make people really want to follow the Lord, like launching your ski-doos right off of some flaming barrels or something in the middle of the ocean. That's the type of thing that we need to raise the profile of the Lord.
That's right, TJ. This is 2022. We don't need some Mel Gibson playing Jesus in some crazy movie that's not even in English. We need a Jesus that is coming out of SEAL Team 6, guns blazing, throwing himself out of that helicopter, throwing that grenade down Osama bin Laden's throat.
You know what this gaming experience reminds me of is other ways we've been trying to get our words out, our message out. And I saw one of our patriotic Amenican mugs on the desk of an acquaintance the other day. I mean, talk about reach, right? Talk about a movement of the Lord amongst his people. It was one that I left there myself. But you know, the fact that he hadn't noticed or become offended or confused and thrown it away just speaks to how our message is really resonating in this cultural moment. You know, I bet the landfill workers have a great sense for what's getting canceled at any moment.
Oh my goodness. I mean, they must be coming upon all this merch that, I wouldn't say it's been discarded, but we've had such a fruitful yield that there's no doubt some of it will end up in the landfill, and I think that was his will anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's another chance for redemption when something goes to the dump, because maybe a stray dog's going to come and snatch it and bring it back to its owner and be kind of like, hey, remember me? You know, the dog maybe got away too, and he's bringing the shirt back just as a symbol. Kind of a reverse Jonah situation, like, oh, you had to end up back in the hands of that owner and say, well, I tried to get rid of that Devin Nunez, you know, Nuns for Nunez shirt back at the office, and I can't wear that around anymore, but my dog just brought it back.
Oh, that's fantastic. I need you to be giving me these type of illustrations because they encourage my heart so much. And I've been trying to encourage the hearts of the people that have been down on their luck. And I know that these times have been very difficult for certain workers in the food industry. And I've been taking the opportunity every time I go to Waffle House. And instead of leaving a tip of money, I leave them something even better. And that's some of our beautiful merch. I usually just size up the waiter or waitress and think, you're about an extra large. And here's a patriotic Amenican extra large for you for doing such a great job of serving today.
I think that's why we've been seeing such, you know, I hesitate to use this big word here, but such stupidness growth across all our key listenership segments, the 55 to 57-year-old males, the 62 to 65-year-old males, you know, heck, even a few of the 67 to 72-year-old Floridian females. We've been growing, and I got to attribute that some to our offline performances just as much as to our online cyber performance.
That's right. I feel like, you know, we also can't discount that some of the young people, instead of buying a T-shirt, have been downloading the images of the shirts and then attaching them to their avatars on various platforms that they're on. So in effect, they are wearing the shirts, but just not physically on themselves.
Right there in the metaverse, we're already there through piracy, through independence, through capitalism, through disregard for copyright laws. We are everywhere. Well, first up for Turnt or Burnt, Rudy, this is a real American story right here. This is something that goes deep, it goes broad, it has implications for all sorts of areas of life. And that, of course, is the representative of Congress, Louis Gohmert, warning some TV viewers about the hundreds and thousands of flamers, which are damaging property throughout the areas where they have renewable energy cranked up to 1,000. We got birds just barely avoiding getting hit by windmills, only to fly over solar panels that focus the sun's energy on them and cause them to catch fire and fall as flaming projectiles into the populace. Louis Gohmert's calling these things flamers. Is this turnt or burnt?
I would normally say this is a turnt, because I'm on board with all that stuff, but I'm going to have to give it a burnt because I just think he misspoke. And when you're talking about an important matter like this, I think a flamer isn't the correct term. I just think he misspoke. He probably had something else on his mind at the time. I did a little research. You know, when you need to figure out what something's really all about, you got to go to the original source material, just like how I always go back to my KJV when I need to get that original source material. And I did a little digging, and I found out that the flamer birds were first called steamers, hot steamers, because they gotten caught in a concentrated beam of the sun, which turned their insides into boiling water, thus producing a steam. And I thought this a bit odd because in my day, in my region, a hot steamer is like a sloppy joe, or worse yet, what happens after you eat a sloppy joe. So for all this and for all the confusion it caused, I'm going to have to say that it's burnt.
You know, I'm a big fan of doing your own research, and really, because I did some of my own on this as well, I ended up with this being turnt, and here's why. Now that he's talking about climate policy and all that, like, nothing helps someone's credibility and the credibility of their policy proposal quite like getting a gay joke into there. I mean, that really shows the seriousness in a new way. Just like when they rolled out the Federal Aviation Guideline System, and boy, did that raise some eyebrows. But you know what? No one would have cared had they not slipped that in there. So I'm calling this one turnt. Plus, it opened my eyes to a whole new possible explanation that brought together a couple of really important threads, which is who caused 9/11, and was it perhaps birds hitting those planes before the planes hit? And man, you bring all that together, you got Pat Robertson blaming the flamers at the time, and maybe he was speaking prophetically. He didn't even realize he was blaming these burnt-up steamer birds with their boiling insides that could have flown into a flight path or something and actually been the proximate cause of 9/11.
Wow, well, as iron sharpens iron, I gotta hand it to you, TJ. That is some good intel right there. And I didn't, you know, I didn't think of it as a humorous thing, but I can get with this. You're onto something there. I like that. So now we're moving on to our next topic, turnt or burnt. Critical race theory, also known as CRT.
Boy, I don't know what to say about this that hasn't already been said. It's kind of like, you know, everybody's been talking about it no matter how little they know about it. And you know, sometimes into that environment, it's hard to add another voice that knows around that same amount into it, just causing some noise. But you know, we did a little bit of research into our own minds. You know, that's the way to really figure these things out. When you don't understand something, you dig deep into your own assumptions about the world and you just see what comes out of there. So that's what I've been doing on this. And I think there's something we've been missing, which is the race part of it. You know, people talk about CRT and it's mostly about the theory part. It's mostly about the criticism part, the parts that really make people angry, really get people bunched up. And the race part has been underemphasized in the discussions of CRT, and specifically the connection to NASCAR racing.
That's absolutely right. You know, the best illustrations are made with sports because everybody gets them. Everybody understands them. And now in race, AKA skin color, is also a very popular thing nationwide. So we take sports and we take race and we put them together. And that's really how you get critical race theory. And the problem is kids don't really understand race very well as young, and so they decided to help kids understand race by using NASCAR as this meta illustration. And I realized that, you know, critical race theory, AKA CRT or CRIT, is hard to fully understand, but basically these schools have developed a curriculum that explains race, skin color, and they call it critical race theory. But it's this type of thing where every one of us is in the race of life. We have crews, we have certain specifications about our cars, and we're not represented by the same sponsors. What's under the hood is relatively the same, but on the outside, somebody is sponsored by Geico, another by Home Depot, and so that's what makes them different. So on the inside, it's just a bit different, but on the outside is where we're really different. And we all have the same chance to win the race, even though some cars qualify in the pole position. Everyone gets a clean slate then the next week in order to win that pole position and to go on and win the race. So I think the problem is people just haven't fully done the mind research, as you said, to understand that critical race theory really is in line with what I would say is mainstream America. And for that reason, it is completely turned.
I'm with you there. I mean, if you use a racing analogy, you use a baseball analogy, everybody in the world understands that right away. And using NASCAR to teach about social injusticism is a wonderful, wonderful usage of something that everybody's gonna agree on, everybody's gonna love. I love what you said about, you know, we're all same on the inside. Those sponsors are like the skin color decals, just painted over the outside of us. Everybody's got the same chance to win. It doesn't matter how much money you have from those sponsors. It's just external.
And we all know that kids respond well to the life lessons from cars. Just like, these seeds were planted back in the day when there was that movie Cars that was Disney. So it's just like the cars from the movie Cars, we can learn a lot about life from automobiles.
All right, next up is a couple of fellas out east, and by that I mean India and New Zealand, who have each received, if I understand it correctly, 9 and 12 COVID vaccine shots respectively. What do you think about this, Rudy?
First of all, I just like to pat ourselves on the back because I feel like we were at the very point of the spear on this multiple contests of vaccinations, and I just seeing our influence just spread worldwide here. This is completely turned. Whether or not they are acknowledging us, the point is that they are doing it for the glory of, well, really for the glory of learning how to count cards and get some sick counting skills.
You know, I appreciate the imitators internationally. I mean, I think that's the surest form of flattery. At the same time, though, when it comes to healthcare, this type of thing almost makes you ashamed to be an American, doesn't it? I mean, there are countries out there with so little regulation that you can show up not even wearing a disguise and they will give you 9 COVID shots a day on demand. And that's a freedom I don't have. So when someone else shows that they got more freedom than America, I get a little jealous of that superpower to have no really regulation like that. And I even had to look on one of those whole world maps to see where New Zealand and Old Zealand are. I already know where Indiana is, but I had to look up where New Zealand was. And they should have asked some of those people, why are they calling you Sea Land? It's like an oxymoron. Maybe, but you know, I started reconsidering that, and maybe it's just an example of the extreme freedoms they have. They can name their place whatever they want. They don't even have to be in English. They're like, maybe this is an oxymoron that that we want. We just want to be like Firewater, or we want to be, you know, Mountain Gulch or something. Like, this is some real freedom, and I gotta look into this whole New Zealand business.
You know, that's true. They do have a very good use of the alphabet in creating that name right there. Very creative. But you know, that what you said there is kind of making me a little bit upset, because now I am wondering if this is a challenge to America being the greatest nation in the world. And that's always been our prayer. I don't know. Maybe I'm on the fence on this one, I gotta say.
I think these guys are burnt, but they show us a way towards our own turntness of the future. And just as looking at that whole world map showed me that Greenland is one of the largest countries, no wonder we tried to buy that a couple years back. I learned that it is one of the largest land masses and an opportunity for growth for America. Just like this, getting 9 or 12 shots a day shows us a way forward.
Okay, for our last turnt or burnt, you have not been able to escape the phenomenon that is Squid Game. Whether you're on Twitter, whether you're on TikTok, you can't escape the Squid Game. And even the local bakery here in Las Vegas has been making cookies from the Squid Game. So my question for you, TJ, is the Squid Game turnt or burnt?
I have a hard time with this one just because apparently it's a show. It's a TV show, and I don't have this streaming service. So that's never kept me from commenting on this type of thing before, though. So challenge accepted. I happily will give my cultural commentary on something I've not seen. A couple of leading possibilities for what it is. I thought maybe, is it a calamari eating contest? Or one of those, like, Great British, you know, cooking shows where who's the best at making calamari? That was one thing. But then I think that what it probably is, based on all the hype around it, is something money related, because people really get excited about, you know, winning money. I think maybe it's one of those things where they got a sports betting kind of squid. Have you heard about these things where they pick the winner of some big game and they make people a lot of money? It's a God-given gift, sort of like their version of prophecy, but in an animal. So I say that's turnt if it's the animal who's able to predict the winners.
You're absolutely right. The Squid Game is where you put a squid in a tank and then they have to guess like a soccer match or the Super Bowl. And for that reason, I would say it is turnt, because I believe that these squid have been given a gift of prophecy, and we know that the Lord does work with animals. No names mentioned, Jonah and the whale. You know, it's not gambling if it's using a gift from the Lord.
And as long as we can get a hold of one of these ourselves for a reasonable price, I think this will be extra turnt. I'm going to have my money, hopefully, on the Sin City Bengals before this is all over here. And we'll bring home that trophy from the Super Bowl with the help of this sports betting squid.
Before we completely sign off, we have an incredible little holy treat for you today. Dear listener, as a thanks for your loyalty, we wanted to give back to you in the form of some everlasting earworms of praise.
Our prayer bots only work as hard as you, the gentle public, work them with your prayer requests powered by our cryptocurrency as you insert that into their digital slots. But they've got some downtime. You know, they're resting under the shade of their server stacks from time to time. So we thought, why don't we put them to work with a little unpaid OT in the very lucrative fields of worship and praise music.
And we would like to plant our worship flags in that space.
So, without further ado, we introduce to you, off their debut album, Crucify Hymns, Jolene and the Crucifiers with their song, Crown Him with Many Snapchat Filters.
What is a fitting crown for a king?
What is a fitting crown for a king?
What is a fitting crown for a king?
A filter that makes his mentions sing.
A filter that makes his mentions sing.
Even better than sharpened thorns.
Even better than sharpened thorns.
Holiness, so passe.
So passe.
So passe.
Halo of whiskers, I'm here all day.
I'm here all day.
Halo of whiskers, I'm here all day. So sparkling.
If you sparkle and with sparkle blade, he will sparkle you so sparkling.